Father, according to your will, Abba Father, we thank you, Father. We come to eat at the table, Abba Father, when we say have your way, Father. We come to eat, Father, the nourishment, Father, in which, Father, you give to sustain us, Abba Father. Only you know, Father, what's coming up ahead in the week, Abba Father. Well, we thank you, Father, that you have set it up for us to win, Father. Hallelujah, Father. And we come to receive, Father. We come to receive, Father. Hallelujah. How many of you came in here to receive? Hallelujah, what the Father is saying. Hallelujah. How many came in? Hallelujah, in to receive. Hallelujah, to expand your metron. Hallelujah. How many of you are coming in here to receive? Oh, Father, whatever it is, Father, only you know what we need, Father. We're not even going to speculate what we need, Father. We say, have your way, Father. Have your way, Father. Have your way, Father. Have your way, Father. Pour in courage if we need it, Father. Pour in strength if we need it, Father. Pour in your wisdom if we need it, Father. Have your way, have your way, have your way, have your way as a family, Father. We want you to have your way, Father. As the fivefold, Father, we want you to have your way, Father. Somebody say, have your way, Abba. Have your way, Abba. Have your way, Abba. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Abba. Thank you, Father. Have your way in this place. Hallelujah. Okay. You can bring it down. Hashakata. Have your way, Father. Thank you. Hallelujah. All right. Woo. How many of you have been eating from the series? Amen, amen, amen. It's been a pleasure. It's been a pleasure. Hallelujah. Good to see you, my brother KP. Amen. Amen, amen. Can't keep them down. Hallelujah. That resurrected Christ in you. Amen, amen. Good to see you. Good to see your lovely wife. Good to see everyone here. Amen. We are going to dive in. Manusha, if she hasn't already, you guys got your papers. Okay, good. Amen, amen. We're definitely going to dive right in because we will be going over a good bit of things today, but things that are definitely needed, amen, because a lot of times you have to set things in place, right, in order for people to understand what they're actually coming to receive, amen. My fan here, it's just, I try to turn it down, amen, amen, amen. You want to go full speed, amen, but I need it, amen. So we're going to dive right in. We're not going to prolong it. Today is part 7 of the metrons and the fivefold, amen. We did the apostle. We did the prophet, we did the evangelist, amen, and let's see, we did the pastor, and so today we are doing the teacher. Now, I don't know about you guys, but probably other than our apostle, which also kind of operates in the teaching office as well, I don't know many teachers. I don't know many teachers. I probably know about 3 teachers, but nevertheless, the teacher is definitely a part of the fivefold graces. And as I was studying this, I was like, oh my gosh, like once again, I thought this was going to be, I'm like, okay, this is kind of really simplified, but it's really not as simple as I thought it was going to be, right? But I'm definitely going to unpack this for you today. We're always going to start at our opening scripture, which is Ephesians 4, 11 through 12. Ephesians 4, 11 through 12. And today we will be talking about the teacher metron. And it says, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, this is the order in which Christ gave his gifts to the church. Thank you. This is the order in which Christ gave his gifts to the church. Now, the order in which I gave these to you as I taught them, as I laid them out, was really the order in which I studied them, right? Some things I had to study a little bit more deeper, but I'm going to, you know, go ahead and give it to you how, you know, the Spirit gave it to me. So every one of these gifts, right, the prophet, the apostle, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher is a piece of Christ himself, right, expressed through his body. So when Jesus ascended, he didn't stop ministering. He divided his ministry into five expressions, and he gave them to his church. Now, watch this. It's no accident that there are five offices, because in Scripture, the number five is the number grace. So there were five loaves who fed the multitude, right? David picked up five smooth stones, symbolic to the grace that he needed to defeat the giant. And the tabernacle in the Old Testament was measured in units of five, which was a picture of God's order covered by his grace. So when Jesus gave the fivefold graces, he was literally pouring grace upon grace. And he was doing it to his body. So each office carries a distinct flow of grace that reveals Christ in a very unique way. So if I can get my first slide, Apostle. Now, the apostle carries the mind of Christ's government, right? We're doing a little bit of overview. The apostle carries the mind of Christ's government. So they carry the vision for the church. They set the order of the church, and they establish the foundation. The prophet reveals the heart of the Father. So they bring in the sight. They bring in hearing. They bring in the warnings, and they bring in comfort. The evangelist carries the cry of the Spirit, the invitation for the children to come home. The pastor carries the compassion of the shepherd to bind up the wounds and to lead the children into green pastures. And the teacher carries the mind of Christ through the word, bringing clarity, understanding, and revelation that roots us deeply in the truth. So there's five gifts, meaning five dimensions of grace, one Christ revealed in his fullness. Amen? We following? Now, if the prophet stirs up the vision and foresight, the teacher is the one that secures the understanding and the insight. So if the apostle sets the blueprint, the teacher builds the comprehension into the people so they can actually live out the word. Now, let me kind of press this into your spirit. This is why the gathering of the church matters. When you stay connected to the body, you're not just sitting in a building. You are positioning yourself in order to receive the flow of grace in which that fivefold minister is giving unto you. So if we go back to Ephesians 4 and 13, it said, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So each time we gather, we receive a measure of Christ's grace through these gifts. That measure strengthens your own metron, right? Your God-assigned sphere of influence. So without receiving from these graces, your personal metron remains underdeveloped. And that is because the fullness of Christ is revealed only when the whole body flows together. Now, this means that the church is not just a weekly routine, right? It is a place where divine exchange is taking place and you're receiving spiritual transactions, right? It's where your measure begins to grow in maturity. So when you sit under an apostolic, prophetic, evangelistic, pastoral teaching grace, you are literally being, as the scriptures would say in Ephesians 4 and 16, it's not up there, that you are literally being, as the scriptures would say, fitted and joined together. So if you neglect the gathering, you cut yourself off from the very stream of grace designed to enlarge your capacity. But when you honor the grace in this house adds to the grace on your personal life, and your metron expands to reflect more of Christ in the earth. Amen? Now, before we go into the definition of the teacher, I do want to clear this up, that Paul himself shows us that it is possible to carry more than one office. Now, it's not common, but it's possible. Now, it's possible to carry more than one office, or at least a combination of an office and a gift. So, let's go to 2 Timothy 1 and 11. Because this was Paul's account. He said, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. So Paul was appointed by God to operate in all three of these dimensions, and the grace flowed together. Now, for some, God assigns a primary office, such as an apostle, but allows the grace of another office to flow from it, like a teacher. Now, another example is Barnabas. Barnabas, it's not up there, but it's in the book of Acts, I believe it's Acts chapter 14, that he was called to be an apostle, but also carried a strong prophetic encouragement. Acts chapter 4 actually calls him the son of encouragement. So now let's get into the definition of the teacher metron. So today, I'm going to open up the teacher's metron, and I need you to understand that this is not just a classroom gift. It's not someone who's good with words. It is the very mind of Christ expressed to his body. Now, we're going to look at the Greek word. We're going to look at the Hebrew word. So the Greek word for teacher is didaskalos. And it means master, instructor, revealer of truth. So it's not just someone who speaks, but one who causes learning. One who brings understanding where there was confusion. One who makes things clear that was once hidden. Now, the Hebrew word for teacher is lamad. And it means to teach, to train, to disciple into understanding. So it's not just pouring out information. The teacher actually forms the revelation in the hearer. So this was very interesting here. The picture that they actually gave in the Hebrew was the picture of a goad, G-O-A-D, for that actual word, teacher, lamad. So the picture was a goad, and the goad is the thing in which the woman she's holding in her hand for the oxen. Now, its point is usually like sharp at the end of it, and it's like a stick, and it has this sharp, pointy point at the beginning of the stick, right? So Acts chapter 26 and verse 14. We'll actually come back to that. And it says, And it says, and when we all had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me and saying in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. That word goads is the same word for teacher. It's the same word for teacher. Now, if we go back to the slide, so he told them, right, because this was a devastating moment for Saul, turning into Paul, right, because he persecuted the church. He told him, it's hard for you to kick against the goads, right? That goad, right, is that word lamad in the Hebrew, and which is kind of crazy because he actually said it in the Hebrew language. So he's letting them know, it's hard for you to kick against the goad. Now, a goad brings three revelations about the teacher's metron. The first revelation it brings is that, number one, is correction. So a teacher applies the word like a goad. So a goad is something that redirects the ox when they get off course. So sometimes they would have to take the stick and poke the oxen because they were going in the wrong direction. So if they're trying to tread straight and the oxen is veering off that path, they would use that goad to put the oxen back on track. So if you resist the teaching grace, it's like kicking against the goads, right? He's letting them know you're only going to injure yourself. If you kick against the goats, you're only going to injure yourself. And it's crazy because, to be honest with you, if you think about what the father was saying, because he was really also talking to his destiny, he said, look, you persecuting Christians, but you're going to be saving them. You're working against yourself. You're working against yourself. So he was letting you know you're only injuring your own destiny. You hurt it yourself because you have to redo all of this. Number two, direction. Teachers don't just fill minds with facts. They set the course, right? Their role is to probe the flock into alignment with the truth so their lives will plow straight. Number three, growth. So just as the goad ensures that the oxen also keep moving, because sometimes the oxen, they don't want to move. They don't want to work. They're like, I'm tired. I don't want to try this out. I'm tired. So they would poke the oxen in order to keep them moving, right? So the teacher metron keeps the believers and the children of God pressing forward, right? They keep them from being stuck in immaturity. It keeps them from going into error. Now, let's look at Ecclesiastes 12 and 11. And it says, the words of the wise are like goads. There go that word again. The words of the wise are like goads. And the words of scholars are like well-driven nails given by one shepherd. So the teacher's grace is the father's goad in the church. The teacher is that stick, piercing through confusion, pressing us toward the truth, securing us in wisdom so that our metrons don't drift off course. So teachers have to prune us, not to hurt us, but to grow us. So without them, we stray, right? With them, we become anchored in the mind of Christ. Now, so when we think about teaching, I want you to know it's not a soft thing, right? As we have experienced. It is not a soft thing, right? Pruning, corrections, instructions, directions, that is not a soft message. But it's the thing that trains you in truth. So when the Bible calls someone a teacher, it's not a casual title. It's a heavenly assignment to form Christ in the people through instruction that is ultimately going to transform you. So sometimes the teacher has to prune your family out of you and put Christ in. Sometimes the teacher has to uproot, right? That Baptist mindset we gained over 15 years, right, that needs to come out and Christ to be put in, right? Sometimes, right, it's the formation of Christ in an intellectual mind, right, that needs to see that intellect is only head knowledge or information and facts gathering through human reasoning, studying, physical senses, but that's kindergarten compared to spiritual things. And sometimes you need a teacher to goad you because you might be getting lukewarm. So the function of the teacher's metron is this. Give me the next slide. It says a true teacher in the body of Christ. So a true teacher in the body of Christ does these six things in their metron. Number one, they will illuminate the word. So this is how this looks. You know you've ran into a true teacher when this happens. They take what looks like a closed scroll, and they open it before your eyes. Things that you have read 100 times over, and you didn't see it. I done read that 100 times and didn't see that. Right? Why? Because their grace, the type of grace that is upon them, is to actually shine the spotlight of the Spirit on the scripture. Right? Number two, they break confusion off of you. Is Jesus our brother? Is God our father? You just come in here with confusion. Like, I don't know. Like, if this is that, if we're saved through grace, and you got all these questions, you're kind of confused. Because sometimes confusion comes in because we've been in several different churches. So now we're confused. So a teacher breaks that confusion off of you. So where there's lies, where there's errors, where there's false doctrine, right, bringing chaos, the teacher comes in with clarity and sets things in order, right? So confusion can often bring a fog, right? But the teacher is there to blow that fog away with the wind of the word. Now, number three, the teacher establishes doctrine. Okay, so they're going to lay down the guardrails of truth for you. They're going to lay it down, right? And they're going to lay those guardrails down so you won't drift into error. So without the teacher, the body will run after every new wind of doctrine. Number four, the teacher will release understanding that's going to anchor you. So the teacher's voice plants you so deep that you're not tossed when a storm enters into your life. Right? Now the prophet might spark a fire in you, right? But it's the teacher that's going to make sure that fire continuously burns. Number five, strategic appliers. Now, teachers don't just want to reveal the truth to you. They actually want you to apply the truth, right? They don't want to just give you information. You go home, you never use it. No, the teacher is there. They not only want to reveal the truth, but they want you to take it and instantly apply it to your life. So they don't let you live in the clouds of theory. They bring it down to your living room. They bring it down to your marriage. They bring it down to your thought life. Number six, they help the people to develop a hunger. So the teacher is not a surface they're not surface level students. Their hunger drives them into the text until the revelation comes forth. And after they finish teaching, they leave you two things. They leave you full and they leave you hungry. At the same time. Proverbs 25 and 2. It is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings is to search out a matter. This is where the teacher lives. The teacher lives here. They search, they dig, they wrestle with the word until the mystery becomes clear. So, if you are never hungry for revelation, you got to know your metron is starving. Teachers are the one that ignite the hunger in the body of Christ. Nehemiah 8 and 8. And it says, gives us the perfect picture. So they read distinctly from the book in the law of God, and they gave the sense and helped them to understand the reading. Did you hear that? Ezra and the Levites didn't just read, they gave the sense. They explained it. They made sure the people understood the word. That's what a teacher does. They read it, they open the scripture for you, they explain it, they give the sense. To give the sense means they explain it to you. They break it down to the smallest breadcrumb. To give the sense means to break down to the smallest breadcrumb. They unlock the Hebrew, they unlock the Greek for you, and then they also connect the dots for you. And then after that, they expect you to apply it. Right? They show the people how the word actually transforms their personal life if they use it. Now, some of you have been frustrated in your walk with God, not because you don't love him, but because you don't understand him. And that is why Jesus gave you a teacher. A teacher doesn't just give you information. They open your eyes to the revelation that was already written for you. So without them, you will stay stuck in confusion. And with them, you step into clarity. You step into strategy. You step into stability. Amen? Now, let's go into the significance of Jesus as a rabbi. We're going to slow it down and want you to see something. Now, out of all the titles that Jesus carried, Messiah, Son of Man, Son of God, Lord, Christ, what did the people most often call him? Rabbi, which means teacher. John 1 and 38. Just to give you some backup scriptures. Then Jesus turned and seeing them following, said to them, what do you seek? They said to him, Rabbi, which is to say, when translated, teacher, where are you staying? John 3 and 2 says, this man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. And John 20 and 16 says, Jesus said to her, Mary, she turned and said to him, Rabboni, which is to say, teacher. Now, over and over, even his enemies called him rabbi. Why? Because the weight of his ministry was not just on his miracles. The part of the weight of his ministry was his ability to reveal the mind of the Father through teaching. Now, this is why rabbi matters, and this is why I'm bringing this up. The word rabbi in the Hebrew literally means my great one or my master. It was a title of honor given to those who had the authority to teach the Torah. So, to call Jesus rabbi was to acknowledge that he carried the authority to open up the scriptures. But unlike the scribes and the Pharisees, his teaching carried revelation and not tradition. So let's go to Matthew 7 and 28 to prove this. And he said, and so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people was astonished at his teaching. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. So in other words, Jesus didn't just repeat information. He unveiled revelation. So what this means is that when Jesus opened up his mouth, parables actually became doors into the kingdom. When he explained the scriptures, the hidden things became plain. When he sat with his disciples, you got to get this. When he sat with his disciples and he taught them, his teaching had the ability to turn fishermen into apostles. Just by teaching them how to see, how to hear, and how to understand the mysteries of the kingdom. So the teacher grace in him wasn't just to educate them. The teaching ministry is to transform you. Side note. Amen. So a lot of time when we think of power, we think of it in terms of raising somebody from the dead, right? Casting devils out of somebody, right? But there's a lot of different levels to power. Right. So, for instance, it's one thing to raise somebody from the dead by laying hands on them. And it's another thing to teach a revelation truth to somebody in which their souls and their minds resurrect. So Luke 24 and 45 says, and he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. He gave the body of Christ a teacher because he knew that our understanding needed to be opened up. So listen, this is why Jesus himself was called a rabbi, a teacher. He was constantly explaining the parables. He was constantly unlocking mysteries. He was constantly breaking down the law. He was constantly revealing the kingdom in ways in which fishermen and tax collectors and even children could understand it. Even his enemies knew that the authority of Jesus wasn't just in his miracles. It was in his teaching, his ability to illuminate the mind of the Father. And that is the essence of the teacher marathon. It opens up your understanding. It shifts you from information to revelation. So if Jesus himself was recognized as a teacher, then the teaching grace is not optional. It's not optional. It's not like, you know, we pull up to the drive-thru and say, well, give me a two-piece wing and a biscuit. And we don't get to choose the fivefold graces that we want. It's not an option to say, well, I've never sat under, you know, a teacher and I don't need to either. It's not an option. It's important for your destiny. The prophet may reveal what's coming, but the teacher is the one that grounds you in what is written. The evangelist might call you into the kingdom, but it's the teacher that shows you how to live as a citizen of the kingdom. The pastor might shepherd your soul. But the teacher is the one that renews your mind so you can actually walk in the transformation. The apostle might govern and build, but it's the teacher that ensures that the blueprint is understood and it's lived out. So let us talk about how the prophet and the teacher balances one another out. Hold on. Not yet, Pastor. Thank you. Now, often, it seems as though because we just don't have enough information, right? We don't have enough understanding. It seems as though a lot of times that the prophet and the teacher are have tension or maybe at odds when they are in their offices, right? Or even in competition when they're in their offices, but they actually complete one another. Right. So we'll give you some understanding behind it. They balance each other out like the right hand and the left hand. Right. They balance one another out like sight and understanding. Right. Revelation and instruction. So 2 Timothy 2:15 says, be diligent to present yourselves approved to God. A worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightfully dividing the word of truth. So Paul says to rightfully divide the word of truth. That is the teacher's grace, to cut straight, to bring clarity. But notice, without revelation, without foresight, you can cut straight and still miss the Father's heart. So trying to see if I should do that first. So, no, not ready yet, Apostle. So, this is the divine tension. So, but I'll have a display for you in regards to what that looks like. I'll give you, like, specific examples. But the prophet reveals the heart of God. So what? They feel his ache. They feel his passion. They feel his urgency. The teacher reveals the mind of God. They break down his thoughts. They break down his principles, his ways, his patterns, right? And prophets tend to be risk takers. Running ahead, right? To declare the unseen future, right? But then the teachers tend to be planners, building systems of understanding so no one is left behind. So the church needs both. So if you only have a prophet, you may have revelation but no anchor. If you only have teachers, you may have structure but no fire. But when both come together, you have vision and clarity, right? Amen. You have foresight and insight. You have revelation and application. So, once again, the prophets see what's coming. The teacher explained what is already given. Right? So, think about it this way. The prophet is like a watchtower, sounding the alarm of what's on the horizon. And then the teacher is like the architect's blueprint, showing you where every wall will go, where every door is going to go, where every foundational stone belongs. So without the prophet, you can't see the danger coming. Without the teacher, you don't know how to build when the danger passes, right? So this means you cannot mature on just revelation alone. You cannot mature on reasoning alone. You need the fire of foresight and you need the structure of insight. The prophet is going to awaken your spirit. The teacher is going to renew your mind. Together, they bring in the fullness of Christ. Now, this is where I get you guys to engage. Now, this is going to be if I wanted to make this fun. This is where we're going to engage. So we're going to pretend, right? And I'm going to need y'all, you know, to go with me, right? So I'm going to say something as a prophet, and I need y'all to just erupt and be like, oh, yeah, right? Right? And then I'm going to come back, right? And I'm going to play the teacher as well, right? And I'm going to quiet y'all down. I'm like, hold up, wait a minute, right? So that's how it's going to go. I'm going to say something as a prophet. Y'all go erupt, right? And then I'm going to come behind that and say something as a teacher so you can actually see what this actually looks like and how they're really supposed to work together. But a lot of times the confusion is in the body of Christ, but I'm going to show you how this goes together. Okay, you guys ready? Yes. Now, don't erupt until after the prophetess says what she's going to say, right? Y'all ready? Okay, put the first one up. So, number one. So, we got the prophet, we have foresight, and the teacher with insight. Now, the prophet says, I see the Father opening the door for you in your career within the next year. That is where you can let your religion out. It's okay. And then the teacher comes behind and say, wait a minute. I know y'all got excited. When that door opens, remember Colossians 3:23. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. So don't compromise your integrity for promotion. Use that new platform to glorify Christ. Amen. Amen. So the prophet points to what's coming. And the teacher is going to explain to you how to walk in it when it arrives. Right? Now let's do number two. I got five of them. Now remember, the same thing. Right? Number two is going to be prophets, spectrum, teachers, specific. Now, the prophet says, I see revival breaking out in the city of McDonough. And the teacher says, wait a minute. Before revival breaks out, Acts 2:42 says, and they continue steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of the bread and in prayer. So your revival dies without discipleship. So here is how we're going to structure our prayer. And here is how we're going to structure our teaching in order to sustain that revival. Amen. So the prophet declares the broad picture, and the teacher builds the step-by-step blueprint. Amen. Now, number three. We got the prophet hidden things in the future, and we got the teacher hidden things in the word. Now, the prophet says, I see God bringing healing to your family, your generational wounds. Hallelujah. Won't he do it? Won't he do it? Won't he do it? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Every generation. Hallelujah. And then the teacher comes behind that and says, okay, now here is how this is going to happen. If you want to be healed, Psalms 107:20 says, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. So in order for you to get healed, start declaring the word daily over your family, because the promise of healing has already been written, because healing is the children's bread. Amen. So the prophet is going to announce what hasn't manifested yet, and the teacher is going to unlock what has been in the word all along, but hidden from your understanding. Number four. The prophets are the risk takers. The teachers are the planners. So the prophet says, I need you to step out in faith. Hallelujah. Start that ministry that God has been showing you. Don't sit on it. Don't sit on it. Don't sit on it. Start that ministry right now. Start it right now. Hallelujah. Hold on about the shiataya. Start it right now. Start it right now. Hallelujah. And the teacher gonna come right behind it and say, wait a minute before you step out. I need you to apply Proverbs 24:3-4. Through wisdom, a house is built. Come on. And by understanding, it is established. By knowledge, the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. So here's a plan for your stewardship. Because in order for you to have that ministry, God showed you, you're going to have a plan for stewardship. You're going to have to build up your leadership development, and you're going to have to be accountable. Amen? So the prophet is going to push you forward. And the teacher is going to show you how not to collapse once you start moving. Amen? Now, last one. Now, remember I say this is, you can let your religion out. It's been locked up. Let it out. If you want to run around, do it. So, number five, prophets do the announcing, teachers do the anchoring. Now, the prophet says, I see the Father blessing you with increase in finances. Everybody's increasing. Increase, increase. Hallelujah. Catch increase, catch increase. Catch increase, catch increase. I'm throwing increase your way. I'm throwing increase your way. I'm throwing increase your way. Increase, 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 increase. Hallelujah. Increase. Amen. That's how I be though. Amen. And then the teacher comes right behind there and say, wait a minute, before you start walking in your increase, let's make sure we anchor it. Because Malachi 3 and 10 says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse and see if I will not open for you the windows of heaven. Amen. So he gonna tell you stewardship is going to activate your sustained increase. That the Father would never give you anything unless you're a good steward. So the prophet is going to inspire your faith. And the teacher just does not want to inspire your faith, but the teacher wants to make sure that that increase is for a lifetime. Amen? Not just momentary. So, Ephesians 4 and 13. Now that we got that out. Oh, God, that was hilarious. It says, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. This is why the body must honor both. To reject the prophetic foresight is to stumble in blindness. To reject the teaching insight is to wander in ignorance. But when you receive both, you walk in maturity, you walk in stability, you walk in the fullness of Christ's grace. Now, let's talk about the operation of the teacher's grace. So when we speak of the teacher's metron, we're not talking about someone who merely delivers information. We're talking about a divine office, a grace that grounds you, a grace that stabilizes the people of God in the truth of the word. Acts 2 and 42 says, and they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and the breaking of bread and in prayer. So the very first church was not sustained by miracles. It was sustained by doctrine. Teaching was the daily bread that kept the new believers from drifting back into their old ways. This is the function of the teacher, to make sure the truth is not just experienced, but it's understood, it's retained, it's lived out. Now let's talk about how the teacher reasons daily. Acts 19, 9 through 10. And it says, but when some were hardened and did not believe, but spoke evil of the way before the multitude, he departed from them and withdrew the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. And this continued for 2 years, so that all who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. Now, you have to understand what was going on here. that as Paul was actually teaching, there are some people that were there, they had some hardened hearts. So as their hearts began to pour out, they began to actually speak evil of the way in which he was teaching. So what Paul did, he said, you know what? I'm not going to continue to teach here. He withdrew the disciples. He took the disciples and he took them to the school of Tyrannus, and he began to teach them personally himself instead of in that forum. Now, that is how important the teacher metron is, and being around others that's actually not teaching the same thing. He knew, I need to do something about this, because if I don't, the people that I'm teaching, their hearts are going to be hardened too if I don't. So Paul, standing as a teacher, it said that he reasoned daily. Now you got to understand that, daily. Not once a week. Not during a conference. Daily. The result of him teaching daily, it says that an entire region was saturated with the word. And let's see what happened because he did that. Acts 19, 11 through 12 says, now God worked unusual miracles. The teaching came first. He taught every single day for 2 years. Then God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the disease left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. A lot of times we look at that scripture and see how the Father used Paul, but we don't understand that Paul taught every single day for 2 years before that even happened. Do you see the pattern? The teaching came first, then the miracles. And the reason why it's like that is because the teachers plow the ground so that the Spirit of God can pour out without mixture or error. And then the teacher builds the actual container in the people's minds and hearts that actually hold the move of God. Without it, revival becomes like a wildfire. It's bright for a moment, but soon it's just going to burn out and fizzle away. So teaching is not entertainment. Colossians 3 and 16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom. Do you see that? Now, it could have said in all understanding. Why would it say in all wisdom? It could say, let the word of Christ dwell richly in you in all knowledge, but it didn't. It said in all wisdom. Now, I'm going to tell you why I'm going to continue to go and come back to that. In all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. It says in all wisdom because teaching is supposed to get you to application. Once it's been taught and you got the knowledge and the understanding, the purpose of teaching is to get you to wisdom, which is application, not just listening and hearing. Teachers are not entertainers, they're builders. Their goal is not the applause of men, it's understanding. They take the logos, which is the written word, and by the Spirit, they make it the rhema word, which is the living word. Because the word is supposed to be lived out. Logos is like a seed, you know, a pack of seeds that you can get in the market. Right, that you can, you know, that you want to grow and put in the ground. You got a pack of seeds. So logos is like a pack of seeds. It got potential, but you haven't opened it yet. Rhema is like you take one of them seeds out the package, you put it in the soil, and what happens is if you water it, it comes alive. It sprouts. It bears fruit, right? So teachers have the grace, right, to unlock the seed, which is the word, unlock the seed in you so that when the seed opens up, it actually breathes life into your spirit. So if your Christian walk feels a little shaky, it may not be because you lack passion. It might be because you're lacking teaching. If your metron, it feels stagnant, it may not be because you lack the calling, because you know you called, but it might be because you need to be grounded. This is why we don't just need preachers to excite us. We need teachers to anchor us. So when we go home, we could take what we've learned and apply it to our everyday life, because that's really what a struggle is. Excitement fades. Understanding sustains. Revelation must become rooted. Teachers are the ones who dig the roots deep into the soil of truth. Now, let's talk about the teacher's power, which is revelation knowledge. Now, I want you to hear this, that the power of the teacher is not just simply to transfer facts to you. And I keep hinting on that because when a teacher is explaining something, right, you need to know they are transferring revelation to you. There is a vast difference between knowledge gained by human reasoning and knowledge imparted by the Spirit of God. Knowledge by reason causes a curse to come upon you. Now, I'm explaining what that, I'm like, what? I'm going to explain that. Knowledge gained by reason alone, by intellect, by argument, by man's wisdom, will eventually lead to pride. That's why it causes a curse upon you. Knowledge by reason alone always leads to pride. It always leads to limitation. It always leads into bondage. 1 Corinthians 8:1 says, "Now concerning things offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies." Reason-based knowledge without the spirit inflates the ego, but it does not transform the heart. It leads to an arrogancy without any intimacy. This is why many who are filled with Bible facts still live in defeat, because they have information, but they have no transformation. Knowledge by revelation leads to a blessing. Now explain what that means. Knowledge by revelation leads to a blessing. Revelation knowledge is different. It comes not from the mind of men. It comes from the Spirit of our Father. It is when the Logos, the written word, becomes the Rhema word, the living, the spoken word ignited in your spirit. John 8:31-32 says, "Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, 'If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.'" Notice, he did not say, "You shall study the truth and get a degree." He didn't say that. He said, "You shall know the truth." That word "know" is the word, we went over this, gnosko in the Greek. It means intimate knowledge, experiential understanding. Truth that is known this way does not puff you up. What it does is set you free. This is the power of the teacher metron, to take the word and by the spirit turn it into revelation in order to break the chains off of you. Chains off of your mind, chains off of your family, chains off of your job, chains off of your marriage, chains off of your children, chains off of your business, chains off of your job. So let's look at Paul as a model of the revelation knowledge. Now, Paul's ministry is probably the clearest example. He didn't learn his gospel, of course, in the classroom. He did not sit under Peter and John for 3 years of seminary school. His gospel came directly from revelation. Galatians 1, 11 through 12. But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. Man had nothing to do with the revelations Paul received. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it. So nobody taught him anything. He didn't go to Bible school. But it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul's writings are loaded with the truth no one else recorded. No one else had the privilege of recording it. Not because he was smarter than them, but because he received the revelation, an unveiling, a pulling back of the curtain by the Spirit of God. This is why Peter himself admitted in 2 Peter 3:15 through 16, this is what Peter said about Paul. He said, our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, and they do also the rest of the scriptures. Even Peter said that this man's revelation is beyond us. Peter said that the ones that were twisting the things that Paul was saying, which was true, it was ones it was darkness. They could not comprehend light. Unlearned men, he said. They didn't know no better. They just didn't have the revelation of it. That was the teacher's grace in operation. Teachers also usher believers into revelation. So here's the key. The teacher's job is to take what seems hidden in the scriptures and unveil it in such a way that the Spirit is going to bear witness what the teacher is saying to you. That's when you know you came into contact with the teacher. When the teacher speaks, the Holy Spirit is going to bear witness in your spirit that what the teacher is saying is true, even if it's a hard saying to swallow. Teachers usher the believers into daily revelation. So you don't just rely on Sunday sermons. You need to eat every day. You don't just need to eat on Sunday and Thursdays. You got to walk in the light every day. The teachers also usher the believers into the living word. Why? Because so that theology actually turns into doxology. Theology needs to turn into doxology, which is doxology is worship and transformation. And the teacher ushers the believers into freedom. There's bondage of error. We don't know. We got errors in us. This holding us bound. There's bondage of tradition in us that needs to be set free in us. There's bondages of deceptions that need to be broken off of us. Ephesians 1, 17 through 18. We're almost at the end. And it says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saint. This is the cry of every true teacher, that the eyes of our understanding would enlightened. They don't want you to memorize scriptures. They want you to eat the word and walk out the word. When a teacher flows in their metron, your Bible stops being just a book. The Bible starts being a voice for you and a meal for you. Your study time stops being dull. Your study time begins to become fire. You don't just quote scripture, you live scripture. And you do that because knowledge, remember, by reason will make you religious. Knowledge by revelation will make you free. Now, this is the end part. And this part is not meant to scare you, okay? Let me say okay. 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 It's not meant to scare you. Now, a part of my metron as a prophet is also a watchman. And a watchman has foresight to warn. Right? So we're going to end with reviewing and explaining the accountability and the weight of each grace as a review given to the body of Christ. And also, not only just the fivefold graces we will look at, we're going to also look at the body of Christ's accountability as well. So, because everyone has an accountability, not just the fivefold. So, we're going to start with 2 Corinthians 5 and 10. And it says, "For we must all appear," key word, all, "appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body," not in the world. "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, according to what he has done, whether it be good or bad." Now, we're not talking about here sin, and you got to give an answer for that, right? We're talking about you receiving your rewards of what you've done. This is the reward ceremony. Each grace and the fivefold carries a different accountability before the Father. So remember, these graces and gifts are not man-made positions. They are Christ's own ministry distributed through the body of Christ. And each one is entrusted with a specific stewardship for which they will stand before the Lord. Right? And you're going to receive your reward for what you did for the body of Christ. Now, the number one, the apostolic account. First Corinthians 3 and 10 says, "According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it, but let each one take heed how he builds. The apostle will have to give an account for the foundations. They are responsible for whether the blueprint of Christ was laid correctly in a people, in a church, in a region. They will be judged for how well they build. Did they build on Christ or did they build on themselves?" The apostolic accountability that they will be accountable for is the order of the church, the structure of the church, the foundation of the church in truth. So if the house is crooked, the apostle must answer for that. Number two, the prophetic account. Amos 3 and 7. "Surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophet. I'll do the second one. Ezekiel 33:6 says, But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes any person from among them, his blood I will require at the watchman's hand. So the prophets will have to give an account for the counsel of God. They are responsible for whether the heart, the warnings, the directions of the Father were faithfully delivered. If they withhold or distort what Abba said, blood is on their hands. So the prophets will have to answer for these questions. Did you warn who I told you to warn? Did you comfort who I told you to comfort? Did you counsel according to my heart? Amen. The evangelistic account. Second Timothy 4:5 says, but you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. The evangelist will give an account for the lost. They are responsible for carrying the invitation into the house and family of God. The invitation that says, come home. The Father will ask them, did you preach the good news? Did you compel them to come in? Did you sow and reap the harvest that I assigned to you? The evangelists don't give account for how people mature. That's the teachers and the pastors. But they will give account for whether the invitation was faithfully proclaimed. Their accountability will be the lost who should have heard the gospel through them and given an invitation to come home. The pastoral account. Hebrews 13:17. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. The pastors will give an account for souls, not just whether people attended church, but whether their souls were shepherded, whether their souls were protected from the wolves, whether they were nourished, whether they were mended and healed. So the pastors will have to answer for the sheep that they were assigned to. Did you feed them? He's going to ask the pastor. Did you feed them? Did you guard them from the wolves? Did you bind up the brokenhearted? Their accountability will be the health and the safety of the flock's souls. The teaching account. James 3:1 says, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers. So we shouldn't see a whole bunch of people signing up for this. Knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. So they got a whole rubric for teachers. The teachers will give an account for the maturity of the children. They will be held responsible for how they shape the doctrine, for whether their teaching produces growth, clarity, and truth in the body of Christ. The teachers will have to answer, did you rightfully divide the word of truth? Did you ground the children in truth? Did you lead them into revelation, or did you lead them into confusion? Their accountability will be the maturity and the stability of believers in the word of God. And now, the body of Christ account. This is all of our, we all fit in this. Romans 14:12. So then, each of us shall give an account of himself to God. Each one of us going to have to give an account. Ourself to God. The body of Christ gives an account for their stewardship. Bless you. Each believer must answer for how they responded to the grace that was given to them. How they used their personal metron. How you used your gifts. How you used your time. They won't have to answer. We will have to answer. He's going to ask, did you honor the graces that I sent to you? Did you honor the apostle? Did you honor the prophet? Did you honor the evangelist? Did you honor the pastor? Did you honor the teacher? I sent you gifts. Did you honor them? Did you grow in your measure? Did you obey the Spirit's leading? So the body's account will be whether they reached maturity in Christ and fulfilled their personal assignment. So this is the summary. Bring up the summary table. This is the summary. As the apostles will account for the foundations, which are the blueprints and the structures, the prophets will give account for the counsel of God, the warnings, the comfort, and the direction. The evangelists will give an account for the lost, the proclamation of salvation. The pastors will give an account for souls, the shepherding, the protecting, the healing. The teachers will give an account for maturity, the truth, the doctrine, the stability, and the body will give an account for stewardship. Your response to the gifts of grace he gave you, your obedience, and your personal metron in how you used it. Amen. 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 So we're going to close out, yes, the lesson, and we're just going to do it the way kind of the Father led me to do it. Each person that he told me to pray, so I'm going to need everybody to get up and to engage in prayer, raise that up a little bit more, and we will begin with the apostle. Put the trip, your first teach. Put your first one. So each one of us is going to take some. The apostle is going to take teach. We're going to do the trip method. Serena is going to take remove. Or Pastor Kirby is going to take impart. And then I'm going to take praise. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's activate our tongues. Let's saturate ourselves in his presence. Yes, Father, Ura Kande, yes, Baba Mama Kande, Oba Mama Kande, yes, Akarabai. Oh, ya Kandara Rabasa Kande, oh, hallelujah, Father. Oh, Kadabasa Kande, oh, Father, we open our hearts to you, Father, on today, Father. We give you permission, Father, as your sons, Father, as your daughters, Father, as your children, Father. Father, we surrender to you on today, Father. We ask that you would teach us, Father. Father, we ask for divine instruction from heaven. Father, we ask right now, Father, as we submit, Father, as your children, Father, as we submit, Father, as your pupils, Father, as we submit, Father, as your students, Father, as we humble ourselves before you, Father, we ask right now, Father, that you would give us instructions, Father, divine instructions from heaven, Father. We want to know, Father. Father, we come in the spirit of Christ, Father. We come to learn of your son, Father. We come to learn of your ways, Father. We come to learn of your glory, Father. We ask right now, Father, that you would teach us your ways, Father. Teach us your love, Father. Teach us, Father, how to conform, Father, to what you have predestined us to be, Father, to what you have purposed us to be, Father, to what you have called us to be, Father. Right now, we submit unto you, Father. We want your will to be done, Father, in our life, Father, in our minds, in our hearts, in our souls, Father, in the body of Christ, Father. We want your will to be done, Father. So we ask you right now, Father, teach us, Father. Teach us, Father. Teach us, Father. We humble ourselves, Father. Right now, we empty ourselves, Father, of all knowledge, Father, of every conversation, every covenant, Father. If you didn't say it, Father, we ask right now, Father, that you would correct us, Father. We need instructions, Father. We need direction, Father. So we submit, Father, as your students, Father, as your children, Father. We don't know, Father. We come poor in spirit, Father. We come poor in spirit, Father. We come poor in spirit, Father. We admit it, Father, from the depths of our heart and our soul, Father. We don't know, Father. We can't see, Father, until you show us, Father, until you reveal it to us, Father. So, Father, we ask you right now, Father, as we submit to you, Father, from your household, Father, before you, Father, through the baptism of your spirit, Father, we ask you right now, Father, give us instructions, Father, divine instructions, Father, from your household, Father. Our soul screams out, Father, teach us, Father, teach us, Father, teach us, Father, teach us, Father. Abba, Father, teach us, Father. Abba, we ask right now, Father, that you would teach us, Father, teach us, Father, teach us, Father. We come, Father, in the spirit of Solomon, Father. Abba, Father, teach us, Father. We want wisdom, Father. We want knowledge, Father. We want understanding, Father. We admit it, Father. We can't see, Father. We don't know where we're going, Father. Father, we ask you to nudge us, Father. Put us back on path, Father. Teach us your ways, Father. Teach us your heart, Father. Teach us how to seek first your kingdom, Father. Teach us how to humble ourselves before you, Father. Teach us, Father. We want to know, Father. Teach us, Abba, Father. Teach us, Abba, Father. Teach us, Abba, Father. Teach us, Abba, Father, in every unlearned area, Father. Teach us, Father. Give us your knowledge, Father. And give us your knowledge. Give us your knowledge, Father. Give us your structure, Father. Give us your system, Father. Teach us, Father, into purpose, Father. Teach us into predestination, Father. Teach us into love, Father. Teach us into humility, Father. Father, unite us, Father. Your word says, Father, that we should say the same thing, Father. Teach us, Abba, Father, that we would say the same thing, Father, that we will have one mind, Abba, that we will have one heart, Father. Father, that we will seek your face, Father. We ask right now, Father, by your spirit, Father, teach us, Father. Teach us, Father, divine instructions, Father, from your household, Father, the Logos word, Father, that was before the foundation of the world, Father. Teach us, Father, until we have revelation, Father, until we have understanding, oh Father, until we walk according to your voice, Father. We cry out to you on today, Abba, Father, teach us.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, Father. We thank you for your hand, Father. As you reach down deep, Father, we ask that you would refine us, Father. Would you go in, Father, and you begin to do surgery on the inside of every one of your children, Father. Refine us, Father. Take away, Father, what should not be there, Father. Go in and correct, Father, what's crooked, Father. Go in, Father, and break up, Father. Break up hard ground, Father. Oh, Father, we ask that you would reach down deep inside your children, Father, and begin to mold us and to shape us the way you want us to be, Father. For you created us, Father. We did not make ourselves, Father. For it's in you that we live, and in you that we move, and in you that we breathe, Father. So, Father, we thank you, Father, as we cry out before you this day, Father. We ask that you would come and rescue us, Father. Rescue us, Father, from our own mindsets, Father. Rescue us, Father, from the traditions of men, Father. Rescue us from the bonds of religion, Father. Rescue us from wrong thinking, Father. Rescue us from the lies and deceptions, Father, that we would raise up in, Father. And we ask that you would resuscitate us, Father. Resuscitate the things within us that died. Resuscitate the things within us, Father, that were cut off, Father. Resuscitate the things, Father, that were stolen, that were taken away, Father, that were forfeited, Father. And we ask, Father, that you would also regenerate those things, Father. Regenerate, Father, the things, Father, within us, Father, to work again. Regenerate, Father, our heart. Regenerate our mind, Father. Regenerate our hands, Father. Regenerate our walk, Father. And recover everything, Father, that was lost, Father. Recover everything that was stolen, Father. Recover everything that was forfeited in you, Father. Bring it back, Father. And revive us again, Father. Revive us again to your glory. Revive us again in your love, Father. Revive us again in your presence, Father. And release your will to our lives, Father. Release us into our purpose. Release us into our destiny. Father, release us into your plan, Father. Oh, Father, and we will redeem everything, Father. We will redeem the bloodlines, Father. We will redeem the truth, Father. We will redeem, Father, destinies and mantles, Father, and purpose and assignments, Father. We will redeem, Father, gifts. We will redeem talents, Father. Oh, Father, as we take, Father, back what you've given us and we stand in the authority that you created in us, Father. Oh, Father, help us to restructure it, Father, so it aligns with your will. Restructure us, Father, so it aligns with your purpose, Father. We declare today, Father, your will, your will, your will, Father. Your will, Father, your will, Father. Take the things, Father, that were tainted by the world. Take the things, Father, that were compromised, Father, and repair it, Father. Repair it, Father, headed above, so that it works according to the way you created it, Father. Oh, Father, we ask that you would redefine, Father, the way we show up in the earth, Father. Redefine the way we think, the way we see, the way we hear, Father, the way we interact, Father. Oh, Father, and fill us again, Father. We ask for a refilling, Father. We ask, Father, that you would fill us up. Fill us up. And Father, replenish. Replenish, Father. Replenish, Father. Replenish, Father. Replenish, Father. Father, remodel us again, Father. Go in and, Father, and tear down everything, Father, that you didn't plant. Tear down everything, Father, that you didn't build, Father, and build us in the way that we should go, Father. We thank you. We ask that you would remake us, Father, and reshape us and renovate us again, Father, for we are your children, Father. We belong to you, Father. We are yours, Father. So recondition us, Father, into the kingdom and the culture of heaven, Father. Recondition us, Father, so that we live like Christ lived and we walk like Christ walked and we have the mind of Christ, Father. Restore us again, Father, to our former glory, Father. But then, Father, you said that the latter would be greater than our past, Father. So, Father, restore. Revive. Oh, Father, we thank you today that everything is being turned around and everything is being reversed. We thank you, Father, that every curse is being reversed. We thank you, Father, for the reformation that's going on in our lives, Father, the restoration in our destinies, the reformation in our bloodlines today, Father. We honor you. We give you glory. We worship you today, Father, in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Everybody stand on your feet. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Father, we thank you in this place. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you in this place. Father, we thank you. Father, impart your fire, for we can't do nothing without your fire, Father. Impart your truth. Impart in us, Father, the resilience that we need. The boldness. Say, Father, impart boldness. Say, Father, impart your fire. So I can subdue. So I can take dominion. Have dominion. Father, impart in us, Father, in this place. We can't do nothing without you. Say, Father, we can't do nothing without your fire. We can't do nothing without you. So, Father, impart in us. Would you just raise your hand and say, Father, impart in me everything that I need. For the things which you have called me to do. I want you to do it one more time. Say, Father. Say, Father. Impart in me. Everything I need for the things which you have called me to do. Say, Father, impart it right now. Father, impart in your children. Impart your fire. Impart your light. Impart your truth. Father, give them zeal for your word, for the assignment which you have called them to do. We cancel every assignment of the enemy. Every lies, Father. Every generational curse, we cancel it. Every stronghold, we cancel it. Every stagnation, we cancel it. Oh yes, Father, we align your children with their assignment. Say, Father, align me with my assignment. Father, we align them with their assignment. We just clapping you in this place. Stir up the fire in you. Say, Father, stir up the fire in me. Say, Daddy, stir up the fire in me. Impart your fire. I need your fire. I need your fire. I can't do it without your fire. I can't do it without your fire. Say, Father, impart your fire in me. I need your fire. I need your fire. Say, I don't want to be lukewarm. Say, I can't be lukewarm. I want to be set on fire for you. I want to hear you say, Father, I want to be set on fire. I want to be set on fire for you. I want to be set on fire for you. I want to be set on fire for you. I want to be set on fire for you. Hallelujah. Say, I want to be set on fire for you. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, we came to give him praise. We're going to end in praise. We're getting ready to declare who we are. Oh, Father, we thank you, Father. You have set us free. We're chosen, hallelujah, Father, before the foundation of the world, Father. We're predestined, Father, to be like our brother, Father. We're washed in the blood of the Lamb. We're justified freely by his grace, hallelujah. We're complete in him, hallelujah. We are loved eternally. Thank you, Father. We're one, hallelujah, with our Father. We're seated in heavenly places, hallelujah. We're the head and not the tail, hallelujah. We're set free. We're sons and daughters of God, hallelujah. Oh, Father, we thank you, Father. We have a steadfast, hallelujah, of mind, Father. We're confident in everything, Father. You have given unto us all things, Father. For we, Father, hallelujah, hallelujah, are made in your likeness. We are made in your image. Hallelujah. You have given us all things, Father, pertaining to life and godliness. Abba, Father, you have called us your very own children, Father. You said that we are chosen. Hallelujah. You said that we are a royal generation. Hallelujah. We said, Father, that we are set apart for your use, Father. Hallelujah, Father. Oh, Father, you said that we are the apple of your eye, Father. We give you the praise right now, Father. You have made us us a brand new, Father, root to a brand new tree, Father. Oh, Father, we give you thanks, Father. We give you gratitude, Father. We give you praise, Father. We thank you, Abba, Father. The old man is dead, Father. The new man has become new, Father. Oh, Father, we're breaking forth on every side, Father. You said we're above only and never beneath, Father. You said that we're the lender and not the borrower, Father. Hallelujah, Father. You said that we will increase on every side, Abba, Father. Oh, Father, we thank you right now, Father. Hallelujah. Just begin to praise him. Hallelujah. Just begin to praise him. Hallelujah. Oh, we're anxious for nothing. Hallelujah. He said, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, hallelujah, with thanksgiving, hallelujah, make your request be made known unto your Father. Oh, we are crowned with glory. Hallelujah. We're no longer called forsaken. Hallelujah. That's something to rejoice about. Hallelujah. We're no longer called forsaken. Hallelujah. Your sons, your daughters, Habakkosaya. Oh, you said that we are ambassadors, Father. You called us the light of the world, Father. You said we're the salt of the earth, Koshaya. Oh, Father, do a work in us, Father. Do a work in us, Father. Do a work in us, Father. We yield ourselves to you, Abba, Father. We surrender our life, Father. We surrender our call, Father. We surrender our mind, Father. We surrender our thoughts, Father. We surrender our hearts, Father. Use us as you see fit, Father. Make us vessels, Father. Ready, hallelujah, and fit for the master's use. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father. We give you praise, Father. Oh, Father, we praise you. Thank you, Father. We praise you. We've been predestined to adoption. In which we cry out, Abba Father, oh Father, you said you are with us, Father. You are with us, Father. And we give you the praise, Father. And we give you the praise, Father. Let us just thank him. Let us just thank him. Let us just thank him. Let your posture of your heart just thank him. Thank you, Abba. Thank you, Abba. Thank you, Abba. Father, we thank you. Let your will be done, Father. Through your people, Father. Raise us, 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 Raise us, Father. We don't want to go our own way, Father. We don't want to do our own thing, Father. Raise us, O Tabra Bakataye. Leo Tobro Bokosaya, Rodebekeshe, Tibro Bakatai Braba. If we don't know how, Father, Kokoshaya, show us, O Cobro Bokosia, Tibro de Beketea, Lua Bobosatai, Rodobosai, Rodebeshakataya. Oh, Father, show us how, Father, to strip the old man off, Father, Cobro Bokosia, Tia, Lia Tandobro Bokosai, Deal with our heart, Father. Deal with our hearts, Father. Deal with our hearts, Father. Koshaya, Likoso Mokosiate, Romokataya, Wokombo Mokosiate, Likoton Dombromokosandaya, Lukosende Bradevichekataya. Oh, put a fire in us that cannot. Father, be quenched, Father. Put a fire in us that cannot be burnt out, Father. Oh, we want to do your will, Father. Here we are. Speak, Father. Thank you, Father.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We rejoice. We rejoice through it all. We rejoice through it all. We're not alone. We rejoice through it all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.